Okay, last night I introduced my family. This is a picture of us back in 2013. My husband, Ron. My daughter on the left is Stacy. And the one sitting is Autumn. And we'll talk about them a little later. Last night we looked at man's ways versus God's ways. Man's ways was to ignore the child. God was to respond. Bribing is man's way. Instead of bribing, God would like us to give our children rewards because of choices that they make, not to get obedience, but because they are obedient. We can threaten, that's man's ways, or we can teach cause to effect. Children learn best when they have natural consequences for things that have happened. The child rules the home. They're the ones that tell you what they're going to be doing in the family, and they can start at 2 years of age. They start directing the family. Or we can do parents' rule, and that's what God's choice is, to have the parents be in charge. Then we looked at forcing or commanding the will, which takes away a child, that they don't think for themselves. We want our children to be able to be thoughtful thinkers and to really know their Lord so they can battle anything that comes into their life. And we're going to look at, now this morning, two of them, how to enlist the will of your child, and then one during the service. Now during the service, all these work. We have taken in rebellious teens into our home, and then we took in small children that needed a place to go. These were all Adventist kids that we took in. Some of them were in demonic worship. They would be all cut up. Some of them were pregnant. They were into drugs. And these were our kids, and so we took in them. And all these things that I'm sharing are things that I did with these children because I wanted them to make better choices, not just tell them what to do, but help them to make those choices for themselves. So it's teaching them how to surrender their hearts to Christ so that they can make any decision that they need to make. So it doesn't just work with small children. As I go through this, this also works for adults. I use these methods for myself too, so I can have victory in my life. So let's look at the first one, how to enlist the will. There's three ways we're going to look at. Thoughts and feelings equal moral character. Thoughts and feelings combine equal moral character. Three judges and king will, and the higher and lower powers. The higher and lower powers will be during the church service. So thoughts plus feelings equals moral character. You'll find that in 5 Testimonies 3:10. When God first created, it said in Eden, God said, "Let the earth bring forth grass, and herb that yields seed, and the fruit tree that yields fruit according to its kind, and the tree that yields fruit whose seed is in itself according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. So the evening and the morning were the third day." So after its kind, what does that actually mean? Well, God put a law in plants. What he said it was, and it only produced what it was. If he said that it was going to be a fig tree, it was, and it would always be a fig tree and only produce figs. If he said it was going to be a tomato plant, it was and always will be a tomato plant and only produce tomatoes. The tree can only produce what it is. It happens for good and the bad. When sin came into the world, the same law even applied in that. If God said you're going to be a thistle, it's going to be a thistle, and it doesn't change. So good things that would happen if you brought some strawberry. Can you imagine if you brought strawberry plants and you planted them and they just grew thistles? But yet it said strawberry plants and it looked like a strawberry plant, but it just put out thistles. So God took care of it and made sure it would only put out what it was supposed to put out. Well, in Luke 6, this is a cockaburra, by the way. In Luke 6, 43-44, it says, "A good tree bringeth not forth corrupt fruit, neither does a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. For of thorns men do not gather figs, nor of a bramble bush gather they grapes. Good trees do not produce bad fruit. Bad trees do not produce good fruit." Good trees can only produce good fruit. Bad trees can only produce bad trees. Wait, let me try that again. Bad trees can only produce bad fruit. So whatever the fruit is, that is the tree. So the fruit is going to equal the tree. Whatever the tree is, that is the fruit. So tree equals fruit. It's kind of like an algebra. A equals B, B equals C. For every tree is known by its own fruit. So let's see if this is true. Is it easier to know the tree by the flower by the seed, by the fruit, or by the tree. And this is for children. Do you know what this is? From the seed, can you tell what kind of tree or fruit it's going to be? Adults, do you know? Raise your hand. Now give me the answer. Do you know what it is? Here's the tree. Does that help you? Here's the flower. Does that help you? Anybody know yet? Raise your hand, you know. This is the fruit. Do you know what it is? So it's easy to tell by the fruit. These are the seeds. Does anyone know? This is a little easier. Does anyone know yet? This is the flowers. These are the seeds, or the fruit itself. So it's easier to tell the fruit. These are the seeds. The tree. Anyone know? Almonds. Very good. Here's the flower. Here's the fruit. So is it easier to tell it by the seed, the flower, the tree, or the fruit? The fruit. Every tree is known by its own fruit. We may guess what the tree is by looking at its seeds, its flowers, or the tree itself. However, we will only be guessing until we actually see the fruit itself. And then there's no guessing. It actually identifies it. This is a natural law. Every tree is known by its fruit, but it's also a spiritual law. In Luke 6:45, it says, "A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good." So good heart can only produce good things. "An evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil." So evil man can only bring forth that which is evil. And it says, "For out of the abundance of his heart, his mouth speaks." So whatever is in the heart is actually going to come out through our talking, through our actions. And so you can tell what's in the heart by the actions of people. You can say what you want to say, but in reality, your actions are showing what you really are. So evil produces evil, good produces good. And by looking at the fruit or the actions, you will know the heart. So children, is this a good heart or a bad heart? Children, good or bad? Bad, thank you. Good or bad? Good. Good or bad? What kind of heart is this? A bad heart. What about this? Helping your friend tie a shoe. Good or bad? Good heart. Oh, let's go back a minute. So that's a good heart. And what about you? Can you look inside and see what is in you? I was a teacher. I have my own practice now. I work with children with dyslexia, ADD, and autism, and adults. But I was a teacher, and I was teaching this to my class, showing them that your actions tell me what your heart is. So we gave a devotion, and I was telling them how I want them to have a good heart. How many of you out there would like to have a good heart? We would like to have a good heart. We want things to be good inside of us. And all my children said, "Yes, we want good hearts." And I said, "Okay, well, if you want good hearts, today I'm going to show you where your heart is." So I had one little girl, and after we got all done, and she kept telling me how she wanted Jesus in her heart, and I gave her something to do, and she did not like what I asked her to do, and she had this terrible look over her face, frowning at me. So I took the mirror, and I just put it up to her face, and I said, "Tell me your heart." And then she put her head down, and she says, "Not a good heart." And I said, "Is that the heart you want?" She said, "No." And I said, "Well, what do we have to do with that heart then?" And I'm going to show you in a little bit what I told her, or she knew what to do. So she did, and then her heart changed, and she smiled. And I said, "Now what type of heart are we dealing with?" So we want to have that good heart, so that action shows the heart that we have. The natural law, for every tree is known by its own fruit. The spiritual law, every child is known by his doings, his fruits, whether his work be pure or whether it be right. And this isn't just every child. It's my husband is known by his fruits. His wife is known by her fruits. My children are known by their fruits. So it can be any of us that we can look at us and know what's inside by the fruits that we are producing. "Far from within, out of the heart of men, proceedeth evil thoughts." Hearts can produce evil thoughts, but it can also produce good thoughts. And who has your heart today? Are you growing in Jesus so you produce good fruit? If you produce good fruit, you will be able to be good disciples. But you must evaluate your heart and see where is it. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. Proverbs 22:15. Do we struggle with foolishness? Being giddy, saying things that we shouldn't say, joking and jesting over different things? So what's really lying in the heart? For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Proverbs 23:7. So is our heart, do we have cheating, stealing, lying? There are different things that are going on in our heart. Or do we have patience, kindness, truthfulness? And those come from a heart too. I remember when my daughter was really little, she loved gluten. And we didn't eat between meals, and I was making gluten. And when she smelled it cooking, she couldn't wait for it to be finished. And I went in the other room, and after I took the gluten out, I went in the other room. And when I came back in the kitchen, I noticed something like a flash going around the corner. And I thought, uh-oh. So I went to her, and she was eating a piece of the gluten. And she knew that she was wrong because we don't eat between meals. And the fact that she didn't ask, and in our home, if you don't ask for something, you take it. It's called stealing. And so she knew that she had done wrong. And so, honestly, I didn't know what to do. And so I told her what you just did was wrong, but I need to pray about it and ask the Lord what to do. And when he shows me, I'm going to take care of this because I know it's wrong or you wouldn't have had to hide around the corner. So I know you knew. And the next day, God still didn't tell me, and I said, I still don't know, but I'm going to take care of it when I know. The next day, I still didn't know, and I told the Lord, this poor child, every day is like, okay, when is it going to come? When is it going to come? Anyway, when the Lord told me, I just went up to her, and I took her out to the garden, and we looked about all the garden, and I asked her about the fruit that was growing in the garden, and she started telling me all the fruit that was growing, and I said, how would you feel if we planted one of these tomato plants, but it came up with cockaburrs instead? How would you feel? And she said, well, that would be a lot of work, because you water it, and you weed it, because they had to do all the weeding. That would be a lot of work and not have anything good. And I said, well, so what do we always want? To see good fruit that comes out. Well, you just showed me that there was bad fruit. And I said, what do you think Jesus felt when he went to the garden and he started looking for Adam and Eve to spend some time with them and he couldn't find them? They were hiding from him. And why were they hiding? And she said, because they sinned. And I said, so they were hiding. How do you think he felt? And they said, probably terrible. And at that time, she started crying and she said, that's what I did. I was hiding from you when I shouldn't. That means Jesus wasn't in my heart. Anyway, she was repentant about it. I didn't have to do major discipline. Just shared a little story with her. But her heart was touched. And it was because she was seeing fruits that were not righteous fruits. So natural, we have the seed equals the tree, which equals the fruit. And spiritually, we have the heart, which equals our actions, which equals our character. So there's a saying that goes, sow a thought, you reap a feeling. Sow a feeling, you reap an action. Sow an action, you reap a habit. Sow a habit, you reap a character. Sow a character, you reap a destiny. So thoughts create your feelings create your actions create your habits create your character, and your character creates your destiny. So thoughts create actions, but it really comes down to your character and your destiny. So from that simple thought, our destiny is determined. So thoughts and feelings, actions. If the thoughts are wrong, the feelings will be wrong. And the thoughts and the feelings combined make up your moral character, as we've been saying, 5 Testimonies 3:10. So this is how it works. A mother asks you to make your bed, and the thought is it good to have a clean room? Did you know that angels like to linger in your house when your house is clean? And I used to tell my children, you know, there's evil angels out there and there's good angels, and I would like to have good angels in my home. So let's keep our house clean because heaven's orderly, and so they like to linger. So we would make up their room, and then we would just sit and feel the presence of the Lord. So we want to have the thoughts that are right. And if the thoughts are right, they're going to produce the right feelings. I want to help my mother. If those feelings are right, it's going to create those right actions. And if she asks me to make it, I'm going to make my bed. If my actions are right, my habits are going to be right, where I always go in and do what I'm supposed to do and get my bed made or whatever chores I have. If my habits are right, I am developing characters, and the character is being a helper, industrious, a good worker, thoughtful. And then I'm creating a character that's fit for eternal life. Laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold of eternal life. 1 Timothy 6:19. Now, if Mother asked me to make my bet, I can still have the same thoughts and feelings that make up my destiny, but this time I hate making my bet. I don't know why I have to make my bet. I'm just going to sleep in it tonight anyway. Why take the time to make the thing? I don't like Mom always telling me what I have to do, and I really don't like working. I'd rather be outside with my friends. So those feelings are going to create some strong actions. You may run out and not do the work that you're supposed to do. Not doing what I'm told, and I leave my room a mess day after day after day. And then when you get married, you keep your house just as messy because you've never learned how to keep it clean to begin with. You develop characters of disrespect, disobedience, laziness, and selfishness. And you're preparing a character for eternal death because we haven't learned to do the things that we're supposed to do. And so God wants us to make decisions in our life. And now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewed down and cast into the fire. Matthew 3:10. So it starts with an action first, and it will develop a feeling, either a good feeling or a bad feeling. And then it's going to create a thought, and that thought is either going to come from a good heart or an evil heart. And if you hold on to that heart, you're going to develop habits. Those habits are going to make your character, and your character is going to make your destiny, eternal life or eternal death. And there's never a time that I've asked a child, do you not want eternal life? Everyone has said yes, except one child that I worked with. He said no, and he was in my home for a while. I took in rebellious teens, and the mother came too, and he was a 16-year-old. But he had too many things in this world that he desired to do, and he knew that he could not be a Christian and do what he wanted to do. So for him, at that time, he said he wanted eternal death because that was the choice he was making. I think he needed some what I call 2x4 diplomacy, which is something on that little back end, but that was not allowed, and I don't go past my bounds of what's allowed for me to do. So there was nothing I could do for him. So I told the mother, you're just going to have to reap what he decides to sow, because at this point, there's nothing more that I can do for you as a family. Or we can have eternal death. Dealing with actions isn't enough. We have to deal with the thoughts and feelings which make the character. Now, when my children were very small, I started, like I said, teaching this from a very young age. And every time that I moved into a home, this is what I did too. Now, I was kind of like, I didn't know there was such a thing as a super nanny. After I started doing this, people said, oh, there's a show out there called Super Nanny. Well, I didn't know it at the time, but I actually went into homes to work with families. And I didn't know these families. When they would call me, they would hear my talks and give me a call. The same way with Esther, she heard a talk, gave me a call, said, do you do parenting seminars still? So that's why I'm here. And so I got a call from a mother, and this mother had a 5-year-old and said, this child is being very disobedient, and I want to know if you could come down and work with the family. Now, I listened to what the mother said, and families will tell you what's going on, but in reality, it may be very different than what they tell you. So I always go to my knees in prayer to ask the Lord, what am I going into? Give me ahead of time what I'm going so I know what I'm dealing with. And so this little girl, and I shared a little bit last night about this, this little girl, mother, they had just gotten married, and the little girl was not accepting the father as a father authority in her life. So while I was praying about it, the Lord told me to read the chapter, Why Sin Was Permitted. And I thought, what does that have to do with child training? But anyway, I read it. And then I went to their home, and as I sat down with the little girl, I started telling her about sin and why sin was permitted. And so while we were going through this, I told her how God had set up a system. There was the Father, there was the Son, and there was Lucifer and the other angels. And this is the order of heaven, and heaven was happy with this order. But then Lucifer decided he didn't want that place. He didn't like where he was at. He wanted to be above God, definitely above Jesus, because he didn't think it was right for Jesus to get all these time with the Father and come into these chambers of meetings and talk about creation. He didn't think it was fair, and so he wanted to be exalted, as high as he could be exalted. And because of that, he created rebellion. And God could not handle rebellion in heaven, so he was kicked out, and a third of the angels went with him, which is a lot of angels when you talk about millions of angels. There was a lot that were cast out. And when I was telling her the story, and she said, "That's me." And I said, "What do you mean that's you?" She said, "I don't like the position that I'm in right now. I want to be where the dad is at." And I said, "Why?" And she said, "I've always been there. Before my dad, they got married, I was at the top. My mom asked me, what would you like to do, where you would want to go, or I'd tell her what I want to do and where I wanted to go, and I want to be at top. And I'm down here, and I don't like it." And I said, "What do you want for your real heart? Do you want eternal life or eternal death?" And she said, "I want eternal life." And I said, "Well, there's something called submission that all of us have to learn. We can learn it when we're young, and it's easier than when we get older, or we can learn it the hard way when we get older, but God wants us to submit. And right now you have an authority that you learn to submit to, because eventually you're going to submit to God." And that's what he teaches us in our home, how to submit and accept authority so we can do it with the Father. And so anyway, as we went through it, we prayed through it, and things started changing. Well, then later on, the mom called again, and she said, "I'm still having trouble with my little girl. When she takes walks, she's not supposed to eat." And they lived at Wildwood at the time in Tennessee. And I don't know if you've ever been to Wildwood campus, but they've got some nice fruit trees all over that property. There's plums, there's apples, there's grapes, there's all kinds of trees. Anyway, so the little girl would take walks, and she just had breakfast, and her mom asked her just to take a walk, and it was safe, so she could walk around those grounds, but not to eat anything. And then she'd come back with all these stains all over her mouth, blueberry stains, and her mom said, "Did you eat?" And she said, "No." She said, "Really? Well, what are all those stains all over your mouth?" "Oh, the blueberries are really good." She was explaining how these things are really good. Now, I'd say, don't ever ask a child to set them up for sin. "Did you eat?" Just say, "Why did you eat?" She already knew she did, but why did you eat? Anyway, so they called and asked if I'd come down and work with her. So I sat down, and I went through the thoughts, the feelings again, and her actions. I said, "Now we're going to go to each of the trees, and we're going to talk to your heart so that you can surrender at each tree." So we went to one tree, and the first, I think it was the grapes. When we got to the grapes, she said, "Do you want some? These are really, really good." And I said, "No, that's not why we're here. We're here so you can surrender your heart and not eat the grapes. So I want you to think, your actions would be what?" She said, "Well, I would like to reach out and take them." "What feelings do you have when you see these?" "Oh, they're really good. They're sweet. They're juicy. They're not cold because I don't have them in the refrigerator, but they're still really, really good. But when you get them cold, they're even better. But these are really, really good." And I said, "Well, what kind of thoughts do you have? I need to eat them." And I said, "Well, is that a good thought or bad?" And she said, "Well, it's a good thought because they're good for you." And then she said, "Oh, it's a bad thought because mom said don't do it." And I said, "Okay, if it's a bad thought and mom says don't do it, now what? What kind of feelings do you have? I like to obey my mom. I would like to do that. So what kind of actions do you want to have here?" She said, "I choose not to eat it." And I said, "Okay, then let's ask Jesus to help you, to give you strength, because you're going to walk every day by this tree." Then we went to the apples, and we did the same thing. And then we went over to every tree, the plum trees. We went through every tree. And about a week later, she called me, and she said, Auntie Cinda, I went for a walk, and I didn't eat any of the fruit today. I had victory in my life, and it felt so good." Now, the other one happened with my own daughter. I was homeschooling, and we did fractions. And this happened to Autumn. She absolutely hated fractions. She could not understand why there was a purpose of even somebody creating such things as fractions. So one day we went into the kitchen and we decided to make granola, and I said, "Let's not worry about the fractions today. Let's just put in salt, and let's just put in the sugar, and let's just put in everything we need, and we're not going to worry about it." So we made it up, and it was the nastiest granola you could have ever eaten. And she said, "Oh, I guess they do make a difference here, but I still hate them." So anyway, every morning she came, and when we started the fractions, her countenance, her actions were just nasty. She was arguing with me, fighting with me, resisting me. And finally I said, "You know what? I can't get anywhere. These are your actions. Tell me what type of feelings are you having, what type of thoughts, what type of heart am I dealing with?" She told me. She dismissed herself, went in the bedroom, prayed, and then came back. About a week later, when we were working on them again, her countenance started changing again. This time, I didn't say anything. She said, "Excuse me." She went in the bedroom, and she surrendered those feelings and those thoughts to the Lord, came back out, and we finished the math lesson. The next week, while I was working with her, she looked perfectly fine. But she excused herself and went in the bedroom, and I thought, why did she go? Because I couldn't see anything. So I went back there to find out what was going on, and she said, Mom, it didn't come out here, but I still felt it here. I felt that inside of me that I was going to latch out, and I didn't want to. So I needed some time with the Lord just to calm my heart and to enjoy my fractions. And what's really interesting is after that time, she started enjoying math. And this is Autumn. She actually became a high school teacher teaching algebra and chemistry. And she chose chemistry because of all the math in it. So you can change a bad thing and turn it to something good, too. She's now, she decided to go into nursing because teaching was lots and lots and lots of hours. And so she's an ICU nurse in Chattanooga right now. But she still likes it because she still has to do all those formulas and think how the body's working and the chemicals that go on. She loves that stuff. And she likes ICU because it's very intense. And so she likes that constant change that's going on. My oldest daughter, Stacy, had decided when she was very young that she wanted to do God's work. She's always had a heart for Jesus. So at 6 years of age, she said, I would like to start doing Bible studies. And she didn't even, not for herself, but to give Bible studies. And she didn't even know how to read. So I thought, okay, I need to teach her how to read. So I taught her 7 texts, and then she went door to door, and I went with her giving Bible studies. No one turns down a 7-year-old for giving Bible studies. And it was just the 7 texts that I gave her. And one of them, at the very end, she asked, are you ready to turn your life over to Jesus? And when they said yes, then she would walk them through a prayer to a commitment to the Lord. If they said no, she just closed her Bible. And they said, are we done? And she says, no, but the rest doesn't apply to you. And they said, well, why? She says, because you haven't given your heart to the Lord. So there's no reason going on with the study. Well, I want to know the rest. Well, you call me when you would like to go through the study again, and I'd be more than happy to come back and do it again. And then she would leave. So she brought a lot of people to the Lord. So she started very early, and then when she got out of college, she called the Michigan Conference, and she asked if she could work for them. And so she came as a volunteer and worked as a Bible worker, and then after about 6 months, they hired her, and she's been there almost 15 years. She did their Bible work, oversaw their Bible work studies, and she also wrote their manuals. So they have several manuals that she helps write on how to lead souls to the Lord. So anyway, she's always had this heart. So at 10 years of old age, she decided she wanted to be a pastor's wife. She felt that was her calling. And I said, well, that's your calling. Then you need to study everything you can find on what you need to do. Hospitality. So we practice how to be hospitable. How to work with children. So she had to learn how to work with children. Everything that would prepare her for that role is what we did in the home to prepare her because she felt like that was her life calling. And so she waited and she waited and she waited. And she waited many years. She did not get married until she was 37. So she waited many years for the Lord. And in that meantime, there was a lot of young men that were coming into her path. But she wanted to save herself, not just physically, but emotionally, for the man that one day would be her husband. So that was a decision she made. And we were at a camp meeting, and she was about 16 at this time. And we were working in the sound booth, and there was another young man working with us, and we were doing all this stuff, and Stacy would, during the program, she'd just leave. And I thought, oh, okay, well, maybe she'd have some needs to take care of, and then she'd come back, and then a few minutes later, she'd leave again, and this kept going on for several days, and I thought, what is going on? So the last time she left, I went looking for her, and I found her in a storage room in a corner behind some boxes on her knees. And I said, what are you doing? What's the matter? She said, Mom, have you seen that guy? And I said, yeah. She said, he's really hot. And I said, yeah. And she said, well, Mom, I'm really struggling. I want to give my heart to the Lord. I've decided to keep it there. I've been going through my actions, trying to keep them right. I'm dealing with all these feelings. I really have some feelings for him. I'm only 16. I know it's not time. Right now, all I care is he looks good. I know it's going to be more important when I get older that he doesn't just look good, but he's able to make a living. He's kind. He can take care of me. So right now, my vision's only about this big. Eventually, it's going to be larger. The fact is, I don't know what his calling is. I want to marry a pastor, so I don't even know that that's his calling. And it's just foolishness for me to even get involved right now. So I'm in here submitting my heart to the Lord so I can have victory in this area. When my thoughts are subdued, I come back in the room, and then the feelings start all over again. So I'm back here on my knees again. until I have this victory. Well, she ended up having the victory in her life, and over and over and over, this had to happen. Like I said, she did not get married until she was 37. This is Steve Shafka. He's a he was a businessman. He decided to quit his job and work as a lay pastor, I guess you would say. He mostly did Bible work. And Stacy he moved to our church, and they were working together. And Stacy decided to leave our area, go down to Andrews, because she was going to see if there was a young man down there, because she had not met anybody, and she thought there was a lot of people coming out of seminary. And so she trained Steve to take over her job. And then she decided to stay, and Steve really liked doing the work, and she really liked doing the work. So they started doing the work together, and Stacy knew right away that this man may be it, but he wasn't a pastor. But she kept praying. Now, it took Steve about 5 more years to realize this was the young lady for him. So she knew earlier than that. But he was called into ministry January 2015, and they got married in May 2015. So she married her pastor. So they have 2 churches right now that they pastor. So her faithfulness did pay off. But like I said, she had to wait a very long time. But she was using these same principles. So what I do is I first look at my child's actions. Are they good actions? Hitting her sister, the brother, the dog, something bad. I'm looking at the actions. Second, I'm going to ask the question, what are you feeling? Now, a child will tell you what they're feeling. They're mad, they're irritated, they're agitated, they're upset, they're angry, they're frustrated. And I do the same thing. I look at my actions, and then I go into my bedroom, and I look at my face in the mirror and say, okay, what are your feelings right now? Well, I am really upset with my husband. He shouldn't have done that to me. And in the home, I don't know what it is. You can be a Christian outside your home, but when you're in the home, it's harder to be a Christian, because that's where your true self starts shining out. And so I look at those actions. And then those actions came from what thoughts triggered those feelings. So I want to know what type of thoughts are there. She hit me and I hate her. What type of heart am I dealing with? An unsanctified heart. And what happens with an unsanctified heart is evil. And there's a destiny for that unsanctified heart. It's called eternal death. So now I want to walk through the process again. Lord, my heart is wrong. Please take it. Give me your heart. Claim promises from God's word. Be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, Ephesians 4:32. I cannot tell you how many times I gave my children memory cards, and they'd be really mad. And I said, here's your card. You go take a walk. When you come back, this needs to be memorized, and you need to tell it to me. I did it for 2 reasons. One, I wanted God's word in the heart, because he's the only one that can change a heart. Also, they didn't have time. That whole walk talked about how mad they were at me. They had to have this verse memorized by the time they came back. And while they were memorizing it, God was working on their heart. So they came back a totally different child. The thoughts to change the heart, have her think of things she liked about her sibling. So they would talk about how kind, how loving, and just how would you feel if she wasn't even here, until I could see the heart change. Have her continue until those new feelings were created. And then go do a kind action. And sometimes they'd go make a bed, they'd make a special dessert for her sister, something that was changing the heart. So then what type of heart am I dealing with? A good heart, a sanctified heart. And that means eternal life. So the steps go like this. Our children may commit the sin, but she doesn't recognize it until weeks or months later. While the child is doing the sin, the Lord convicts the heart. Then she can walk through the process, the thoughts, the feelings, the actions. And that happens with me. There's things that I may do right now that I'm not realizing that God sees a problem with it. And months down, he shows me. And then I say, okay, Lord, every time I do it, you show me. And then I can be in the middle of it. And he's like, okay, this is it. This is what I don't like. This is what you need to change. And then eventually, before the child commits the action, the Lord shows the child that her thoughts or feelings are wrong. And at that time, the child surrenders her heart. And so that means before you even go into that action, the Lord says, okay, don't even go there. That thought is not of me, so I need you to change that thought right now. And that's such a blessing, because our children will be experiencing victory in their lives. Their actions will no longer bring pain to themselves, to us, or to God. Okay, now I'm going to do the last one for this one. It's, thy son, give me thine heart, and let thy eyes observe my ways. Proverbs 23:26. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Proverbs 4:23. We're going to be doing the three judges and King Will. And I'm going to need some volunteers at the end of this. So pay attention of what these are, because you're, I'm going to need some children to come up here. We're going to be doing this. This actually came from Eric B. Hare. I modified it from my children. But when a decision is made, three judges need to be in agreement in order for King Will to obey. So first of all, we have voice of reason. Now, voice of reason is always going to judge, is it good or bad? Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Isaiah 1:18. God has placed within our minds this power of reasoning that leads to choice. I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live. Deuteronomy 30:19. His voice is factual. Reason argues pro and con, telling what is good for us and what is bad for us from God's point of view. Voice of reason pays no attention to whether he likes it or not, or whether he wants it or not. He points out the advantage and the disadvantages. Then we have voice of conscience. Voice of conscience judges, is it right or is it wrong? Isaiah says, thy heart shall hear a word behind thee, saying, this is the way, walk ye in it, when ye turn to the right hand and when ye turn to the left. Isaiah 30:21. Isaiah speaks of a still small voice in 1 Kings 19:12. Whether we hear this voice behind us or in our hearts, we recognize it as the voice of conscience, which is how we know the will of God. Voice of conscience speaks clearly, saying whether it's right or wrong, whether God approves or disapproves of the actions under consideration. Then we have heart's desire, and this is the little guy that causes us trouble. Heart's desire judges, is it going to be a yes or no? He's concerned about longings and wants. He judges if it is something that is wanted or not wanted. So he will answer yes or no according to his wants and his desires. But the decision of the three judges is the will, King Will. Now, voice of reason always wants to do what is right. Voice of conscience always wants to do what is right. Heart's desire, sometimes he wants to do what is right. Sometimes he's not sure if he wants to do what is right. And sometimes he does not want to do what is right. So when the three judges all agree, then King Will obeys. When heart's desire isn't sure he agrees with reason and conscience, King Will, or his heart isn't sure, then King Will isn't sure he wants to obey. When the heart's desire doesn't agree with reason or conscience, then King Will doesn't agree with conscience either. He doesn't want to obey. So let's play some games with the three judges, and then I'm going to have some children come up, and we're going to do some that you do in your home. So, and I do this for family worship. So I will start when I work in a home. We will start with the judges, and then we will just start playing games. So we teach the concept, and then we do it all day long and week long. And if I'm there a month, we work on a month. So we're just working with heart's desire. So if heart's desire is in harmony with God, reason, and conscience, it works within us unto obedience. If heart's desire outweighs the voice of reason and the voice of conscience, our will within us, then we disobey. So we want it to be in agreement. So these are the how it works. A boy wants you to smoke. Children, is it good or bad to smoke? Right, voice of reason. You say, you guys know this. Good. Voice of reason says bad. Is it right or wrong to smoke? Wrong. Hey, you guys are good. Okay, so it's wrong to smoke. So what should heart's desire say? Am I going to smoke?
No.
No. Okay, very good. So King Will doesn't smoke. Okay, now mommy and daddy call me to come. Is it good or bad to come when and obey mommy and daddy?
Good.
Is it good? Or good. Okay. Is it right or wrong to come and obey mommy and daddy?
Right.
Right. Am I going to come and obey mommy and daddy?
Yes.
Yes. And say, if they all agree, King Will comes and obey. And this is exactly how it works at home. Yay! You're getting it. Now, mommy and daddy ask, or mommy in this case, ask me to make my bed. Is it good or bad to make my bed? Okay, good. Is it right or wrong to make my bed?
Right.
So am I going to make my bed?
No.
Not sure. And that's what I get. Not sure. Sometimes it is. Sometimes it's not. It really depends on how I feel today. If I don't want to, I don't feel like it today because I'd rather do something else. So if I'm not sure, heart's desire is not sure, what's going to happen to King Will? He's not going to be sure either. Now remember, voice of reason says it's good. Voice of conscience says it's right. But heart's desire has a problem. He thinks he knows something better. He has what we call an eye problem. Did you know there's someone else in the Bible that has an eye problem? Do you know who he was? It says, "Oh, you are fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning. How you are cut down to the ground, you who weaken the nations. For you have said in your heart," count how many eyes that you see in this. They're all in red, so you can count them. "I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit on the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the cloud. I will be like the Most High." How many eyes did you get in that? Five eyes. Did he have an eye problem? He had an eye problem. Satan does not like obedience, and that's what he had a problem in heaven. He didn't want to obey. There were certain things he was supposed to do. He didn't want to do them, so he had an eye problem. Well, when heart's desire has an eye problem, he's not going to want to obey either. And if he doesn't obey, King Will doesn't obey either. So what do you do when heart's desire doesn't want to obey? "Lord, my heart is wrong. Please take it. Give me your heart." Now, you may not feel like you have his heart, but you ask for it. Now, we're going to act upon it. "Help me to listen to the voice of reason and the voice of conscience." So he listens to the voice of reason and he listens to the voice of conscience. God made a promise to us in Ezekiel 36:26. "A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you." Ezekiel 36:26. Now all three judges are in agreement, and the heart will then desire those things that are pure and holy. Yes, it's good and right to make my bed. I am going to make my bed. Now there was a little boy that was visiting my Sabbath school, and he told me, my mommy asked me, he was a stranger, he just came to Sabbath school, and when he came in, I was teaching this in my class, and the next morning he came back and he said, "That really works." And I said, "Really? Well, what happened?" He said, "Well, my mom asked me to get the baby's bottle out of the refrigerator, but do not get anything to eat. Every time I open the refrigerator, I like food." So, and my mom knows that. So she said, "Get the baby bottle, but don't eat." So I went, and I went to that, and I opened the refrigerator, and the banana said, "Eat me, eat me." And the apple said, "Eat me, eat me." And I really, really wanted to eat. And then I remembered what you told me about the three judges and King Will. So I decided to try it. Is it good or bad to eat fruit? Oh, it's good to eat fruit. Is it right or wrong to eat fruit? Oh, it's right to eat fruit. Fruit is better for you than candy or anything else. And I thought, uh-oh, where is this kid going with this? So it's good and it's right. And then I thought, well, am I going to eat fruit? Yes. And then he said, but then another thought came into my mind. Mommy said not to eat. And then I had to do that thing all over again. Is it good or bad to obey my mommy? It's good to obey my mommy. Is it right or wrong to obey my mommy? It's right to obey my mommy. So the question is, am I going to obey my mommy? And I decided I was going to, but I said I had to take that bottle, and I said, "Jesus, help me." I grabbed the bottle, slammed the door, and ran upstairs, and I didn't eat any fruit. Now that little boy made a choice to obey his mother. Even though the fruit looked good, he made a choice to obey his mother. And that was just once, and I never saw him after that. They only came two Sabbaths. That's the only time I ever saw him. But I gave him something very simple to have victory in his life. So we're going to do this right now. We're going to look at the judges, and I have them up here. So I need some volunteers. This is going to be Heart's Desire. So who wants to do Heart's Desire? Well, let's do the ones that are easy first. We have Voice of Reason. All you have to do is stand here. Who wants to do Voice of Reason? Okay, good. You come stand right here. And what's your name?
Sierra.
Sierra? How old are you?
Six.
Six. Okay, you...
Seven.
Oh, you must have had a birthday soon. Very good. Okay. And then I have Voice of Conscience. Who wants to do Voice of Conscience? You just need to stand here too. Come on. Do I have to get some adults? Children, just come hold it. Very simple. Oh, an adult. Okay. No children, huh? She'll do my Voice of Conscience. All right. These are called big children. We go through this too. I can't tell you how many times I have to ask, is it right? Is it wrong? Is it good? Is it bad? Where's Heart's Desire? This is the hardest one, or these two are the hardest ones. Well, this is the hardest. This one's easy. Okay, so this is Heart's Desire. Now remember, Heart's going to say yes, maybe, don't think so. Who wants to do Heart's Desire? All right. Here, let's come stand right over here so we can put you right in front. Okay, now you're the main person here. Do you understand that? All right. Heart's Desire is the one who gives us all the trouble. Oh, you got to be the mean guy? Did you? He's a big boy. Okay, so let's get our judges all right here. Okay, now remember, you got to hold it up and always hold it like this, because this one's the good guy, and then you're going to go like this when it's time, all right? Same with you, you're going to go up when it's time, and you get to make some decisions here, all right? Now we have the King Will. Now, King Will is going to listen to this guy. So King Will's only going to follow. So this is our boss. This is King Will. Who wants to do King Will? You have to decide whatever he does. This is the one you got to show. You want to do it right here? No? Have somebody else? Oh, good. Come up. Oh, what is your name?
Noah.
Carmen.
Carmen. And your name?
Grayson.
What is it?
Grayson.
All right. Okay, Grayson. You got to follow Noah over here, okay?
Okay,
now I do need some children out there. What is something that mommy or daddy ask you to do? Raise your hand and give me something. Yes. Okay, we just went through and make the bed. Do you have something else that you're supposed to do? Clean your room. Okay, so it's time to clean the room. Okay, so is it good? Let's see. Is it good or bad to clean the room? Good, because angels come.
Yes.
Is it right or wrong to clean your room? Right. Okay, Noah, this is for you. You're supposed to clean your room. How well do you do?
When I want to.
When I want to. Okay, so do you have a sometime there? Okay, so a sometimes. So if he has a sometimes, what happens to King Will? Okay, then show the sometimes. So put that and do it that way because you have to follow him. Okay. So this is the one you need. So you're going to show that one and put it up, okay? So now we're sometimes, okay? Now we're sometimes. What do we have to do? Is it good to make the bed, Noah?
Yeah.
Is it right to make the bed?
Yeah.
Okay. King Will is going to have a hard time unless you make some good choices, okay? So what do we need to do? Okay, now you're being honest. I'm too lazy. Is that a character trait of God or not? No, because we won't find that in God's kingdom at all. He is not lazy, because if you have laziness, you're going to develop bad character, because one day you're lazy, so you don't make a living for your family can't eat, bad things happen, so it's bad choices that we're making. So what do you have to do when he's like that?
Make him happy.
How do you make him happy? Okay, oh, I just went through it. Do you remember? Okay, we're going to hold this up now. We're going to make him happy. How do we make him happy? What do we have to do? We have to pray. We have to ask Jesus first to say, and it's okay to be honest. There's times I have to say, God, I don't like this, what you're asking me to do. I'm not happy with this. That's honesty. It's okay, because I'm not doing bad. I'm just saying, I don't like this, but I'm willing to change. If you work in my heart, because I can't do it myself. So we ask the Lord to change our heart. These two are in agreement. So would you want, keep you guys up. Keep them up. Keep them up. Okay, so now we want to agree. So we ask God to change our heart, because that's what we choose. And then what will we do?
Be happy.
We will obey. We'll clean our room. And if he cleans his room and decides that, what's going to happen to King Will?
I want to clean my room.
Okay, yeah. Good. So you can put that, get the smiley one. So turn around so you can see the smiley one.
Thank you.
Good job. Okay, got it?
Yeah.
Very good. Okay, now you want to trade places with him?
Yes.
Okay, you trade places with him.
Where does she want to be?
Oh, I'll let all of them do it. Okay, we'll just go through a couple more. Okay, ready? Now, you have to pick something you don't like to do that you're supposed to do.
I do not like to weed.
I don't like to weed. Okay, so let's come down. Everyone down. Is it good or bad to weed? Why would we want to weed? Good girl, you got it. Okay, so we want to hold it up. We want to say it's good to weed. Is it right or wrong to
it's
weed?
Right.
Right. All right. So we have. Do you don't do it? Do you ever not do it? I know you battle. Do you not do it?
Sometimes we say we'll do it, but then we don't end up doing it.
Oh, okay. So which faith do we need then? If we don't end up doing it, we say we're going to, but we don't do it. Okay, that's when you're questioning. But when you don't do it, when you don't do it, it's a sad face. You're right. For everybody involved. Okay. And then what happens to King Will? All right. That's how it goes. So what do you have to do?
I have to pray and ask God to help me, like weeding and obey my parents.
Very good. And when that happens, what happens to heart's desire?
Yes.
He has a smile. What happens to King Will? Very simple. Okay, got it. Sierra, do you want to do the ones that you get to hold all three? Okay. And then we'll stop. Okay. What, do you always like to obey? Oh, you always like to obey? If I ask Mommy, would they agree with that? Do you always like to obey? Not all the time. Oh, I love your honesty. Okay, when is it that you don't like to obey? What is it they ask you just really don't like to obey?
Sometimes.
Like what?
Sometimes when I read, sometimes my dad gets on to me, so that's why I don't want to read with my dad.
Okay, so sometimes you don't want to read when you're supposed to read? Is that what you're saying? Okay, so sometimes you don't like to read. Okay, is it good or bad to read?
Good.
Why? All right. We don't want dumb people going around in here. We got enough of those, right? We want to always be in our right mind, think things through. Is it right or wrong to learn to read?
It's right, because it's the more you learn, the more you earn.
All right. Very good. You got it.
Okay.
Okay. And then sometimes you don't want to, so do you not read?
I do sometimes.
Okay. Is there ever a time you don't when you're supposed to?
Well, one time I needed to do my math.
Do you pout? Do you get mad?
No.
No? No, you never get mad? Good. Mom and Dad, tell me what you're doing. She never gets mad. That's really good. Okay, do you ever pout? Sometimes you pout. Okay, so sometimes we've got the sad face then, because sometimes we pout, because we don't want to do it. And then if we pout, what happens to King Will? All right, he pouts too. Okay, remember, these ones decide what he's going to do. So what do we have to do when we're pouting? Say what?
We had to put a happy face.
And how do we get a happy face?
That we need to try.
And we need to ask Jesus to help us. Yes. And we ask Jesus to help us. What happens?
We have a happy face.
And then what happens? All right, King Will obeys. Thank you for my helpers. Good job. Very simple. Excellent.
Uh-huh.
Sure.
It's not good or right.
Did you hear his question, which I will answer you? He wanted to know, when Abraham killed his son, do you think God knew? What was God really wanting from Abraham? A willing heart. I'm not so sure that that's what he would have done, but God needed a willing heart. And because his heart was willing, God did turn that. I would have to do a little bit of study on that, but I know that God wanted a willing heart. And sometimes, and I'll give you an example. My daughter ended up with a lump in her breast at a very young age. And I needed to take her in to see if it was cancer. And I battled and I battled with the Lord because I thought, surely you didn't give me this child to take her life from me. So I battled and I battled with that because I couldn't imagine God taking my daughter. But what God needed from me was a surrender of my heart. She belonged to him. Was I willing to give her to him? No matter what, was I willing? And I can't say I was. I was mad. I was mad at him. I was hurting. But yet I kept going to my knees and said, Lord, I'm willing to be willing, but make me willing, because this is not easy for me to know that I could lose my daughter. I'm not happy at the moment, but I'm submissive to you. So you do whatever you have to do inside my heart so that I can totally surrender to you. That's what I need right now. So I started praying, and the minute I was able to say, Lord, you gave her to me, and if all I have with her is 17 years, I'm happy. Because you gave me some of the best 17 years I could ever ask for. So if you want her, she's yours. And I mean that with all my heart. And I know it's still going to be hard. So you help me to continue to go through it because it's not going to be easy for me. But I'm willing to go through it. And I had tried to find a doctor that would examine her without, because I didn't want them to do surgery and cutting into her. So I kept praying. And everybody I called, I couldn't get into anybody. And then there was a doctor at Wildwood that opened up his schedule and called me the day that I surrendered. He called that afternoon and said, I have an opening, bring her down. So I brought her down, and it was something else. It wasn't bad. It was all taken care of. So it was okay. But it wasn't until I surrendered that God said that this is okay. And I think that's when we have those battles. God just wants a surrendered heart. And that's what heart's desire. My heart's desire was not happy. So I had to surrender my heart's desire so that I could be within God's will. And that's what I had to do. So that's the best way I can answer that. So help your child to remember that three judges when making decisions day by day. Walk them through the thoughts and the things that they need to do, whether it's making the bed, picking up their toys, listening to you, getting dressed, sharing, whatever it may be. Use these. They really work. They're easy. I use these for teenagers. When we took them rebellious teens, they didn't even know how to surrender at all. We played these games. They would laugh at me. But you know what? They were still learning, and they were able to do it when they were making those life choices. Help them to see that heart's desire has the problem. King Will may know that something is wrong and not good, but if heart's desire is too strong, then the child will disobey. If heart's desire is not in agreement with the voice of reason or conscience, they will sin. Help them to exercise their power of the will to always do what's best and right. They must take heart's desire to Jesus and let him change it for them. Teach them how to ask God to change the desires of their heart to be pure and holy. They will need to claim promises, pray, and get their hearts into harmony with reason and conscience. Jesus will give them a heart that desires to listen to voice of reason and voice of conscience. Let them know they are not in the struggle alone. God promises to give them strength. God will empower them with his grace so they can obey. As the will of man cooperates with the will of God, it becomes omnipotent. Whatever it is to be done at his command may be accomplished in his strength. All his biddings are enablings. Christ Object Lessons, page 333. Now, I do have these on a handout that you'll be getting out there that you can pick up so you can have them. I also sent the pattern to Esther, so if you want to make a set of these. They actually came from, like I said, Eric DeHare, but somebody put them together as Phelps, Lois Edgers, I think is her name. She's not alive anymore. But I was doing a seminar not too long ago, and I've been praying about getting my hands on these Phelps, and somebody just gave me the whole box and the whole set. So I'm going to see about getting them reproduced so that they can be used. But I don't even know if people use Phelps anymore. I know we did a lot back in the day. I don't know what they use now. But anyway, they have these, and the thoughts create the feelings also. So let's close, take a break, and then we'll come back for Sabbath school or